Well, Barb, I'm excited about this second part of this wonderful, wonderful teaching. And I'm ready to go for it if you are. And you prayed the first time. Can I pray this time?
Absolutely.
Father God, I thank you for the marvelous scriptures we have, and particularly in Numbers 13 and chapter 14. And Father God, help us to rightly divide the word of truth today and to listen for your wonderful rhema voice. You've got something specific to say to all of us, and we are going to be listening. Thank you very much for being with us, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, yesterday we talked about leaving your past behind, and that's so important, Darren, not to carry luggage into the promised land that God has for us to possess. And today we're going into Deuteronomy 1 through 4. And what a great introduction into the promised land, possessing your inheritance. I looked up the word possess in the Webster's Dictionary, and it's really interesting. Possess means to own a property, to gain or exert influence over, dominate, to control or manage, to cause, to have, hold, or master something as property. And you know, when Israel went into the promised land, they actually didn't have a deed, a written deed, or ownership, a contract of any kind. They went in there and they dominated because their God had told them that was their land. So they really overtook the people that were already existing there and living there, and they took over the property.
Now, what they did really was a dispossession. They took it away from the people that were there, that they, the people that were there, thought it was their land. But the original owner and the one that made the land gave it to the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, I tell you, that's such a profound thing to me, and I've been studying a little bit about the problems with Israel today in the Holy Land. And they're trying to say to the whole world, listen, God gave us this land.
Yes.
And he did. And we're going to talk about that.
That's right. And I hope you're listening today that God gave you a special inheritance. And you may have to take it by confessing the word. God is such a wonderful CEO and manager, as we talked about in the last hour, Darren. And he wants the very best for us. And we may have to go and dominate that in the spirit first. Now, in order to possess... to possess something, a person has to be in the right place at the right time. And as the children of Israel were, they were on the east side of the Jordan. Now, the promised land was on the west side of the Jordan, so they had to go and defeat these nations, the Amorites and Bashan, the king of Og, and all these people before they could live in this land.
And God said he'd help them do that.
Yes.
He's not sending them out there all by themselves. He's going with them.
That's right. So it's important for us as believers to be in the right place at the right time. And how do you do that? You do that in the spirit. You're ready for anything in the spirit because you've been in the word, you have been disciplined by what it has told you, and you are trusting God. We're going to go through some things that you may find interesting and refreshing and maybe some direction in which to possess your inheritance.
You know, I was just thinking this morning as we were preparing for this lesson that we really ought to say, which leader do I choose to emulate? Which idea, which concept do I choose to hold dear? And we're going to lay those out here today because you need to make sure you cross the Jordan in your life, and that may, you may have to draw a line and say, I'm stepping over this line and I'm going to go for it. I am not going to just live my life out and die without being, you know, without having achieved or acquired my possession. I want it.
That's so true. And Darren, I've even seen you at meetings. You've drawn a line at the meeting and said, now I want you to cross over that line. You're never going to look back. You're never going to go back. You're crossing a line and you're going to go forward from this day forward. So it's important that we do that. That is the probably the first and foremost thing, to make that decision.
You know, there's another thing that I've taught that I heard this on a tape several years ago, and I've done it and it does work. Sometimes we have to notify our physical body that things are changing. And if that means it's doing something as simple as jumping off a chair, and say, now, when I hit the floor, things are going to be different. I'm telling my whole body, my whole system here, that we're going forward. We're no longer going to sit here and just languish. We're going to go after the goal.
Yes. Now, as we present these different points, we're going to also give scripture from Deuteronomy, which will help you establish your spirit in the direction in which you want to go. Now, number one, you first of all make that decision. You make a wise decision. per the command of the Lord to do what he says for you to do. He is your CEO and manager. And Darren, it's so important, like you said, you're going to choose one or the other. You better choose God. Choose to follow God, not your own instincts. Because I'll tell you, my own instincts have led me on detours, on trail, like you say, rabbit trails. And I've had to really suffer because of some of the poor decisions I've made. But when you make a decision by the command of the Lord, like the Lord said here in Deuteronomy 1, turn and set your journey. See, I have placed the land before you. Go in and possess the land, or dominate the land which the Lord has promised you.
You know, you mentioned rabbit trails. If you've ever seen just a light snow, maybe an inch or two of snow, and there's rabbits running across there, you never see a rabbit run in a straight line. It's always a zigzag. You know, they're very confused, it looks like. Coyotes the same way. You know, they never run in a straight line. It's always a zigzag pattern. So you want to make sure that you're not on a rabbit trail someplace, but you're targeting the goal. You're going to go for it. Now, I'd like to say this at this point. The children of Israel had owned, and technically owned or possessed, or it was their promised land for several hundred years. God had promised this to them. They were down in Egypt 430 years. Yet even before then, God promised them the promised land. Well, I want to say this. God has promised you that are listening today a promised land. He's promised you a land of fulfillment, a land of plenty. He wants you to go and possess what he's giving you.
Yes.
But you have to make a decision.
Yes.
And you have to cross that Jordan in your life and get up and go for it.
That's right. You do. You have to make that decision. And you have to listen to wise, understanding, experienced, and respected men. Now, we see that in Deuteronomy 1:13, when Moses was told to choose wise, discerning, experienced, and respected men. Well, no, Moses told the leaders that you need to be choosing wise men to go into the promised land, to spy out the land. 12 wise and experienced men from each tribe to go into the promised land. And I believe, Darren, it's so important for us to gain counsel or get counsel from wise and experienced people here.
Okay, I'm going to talk about these men who probably, we would say today, they were mid-management. And some of them were dependable, two of them were, and 10 of them were flakes.
Yes.
Two of them had stick-to-itiveness. They were going to hang in there no matter what because they said, God's with us, let's go take the land. And there were 10 of them that fell back and fell apart. Now, I think you need to be very careful, even what spiritual leadership you're following.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get confirmation from the Lord himself that you're on the right track following the right people.
That's right. And if you make a wrong decision, Darren, pretty soon you're going to find out. You're going to find out pretty soon in your investigation and all of this if those men are the ones that you should follow after or follow their counsel.
Well, I'm going to say this. I believe that early on, now not later, but early on, we need to ask the Lord, am I following a pretender? Am I following someone in presumption? Are they just actors? Mm-hmm. Are they stuffed shirts? Is there anything inside of them? Do they have anything in their hearts? And if they don't have, you're following the wrong people.
Yes. A good scripture that you might want to follow here or to underline in your Bible or write down with notes that you're taking is Proverbs 12:15. A wise man is he who listens to counsel. So it is really very biblical for you to take time to seek out wise and good counsel in making your decision. I really believe that, Darren. And I know that when we were deeply in debt, we sought out a man who was wise,
right,
who would help us get out of the hole we were in. And boy, we followed his advice, and God has really blessed us because of that. So it's really important to listen to wise counsel.
Well, one thing I'd like to say is a lot of times there are people that want to lead, and they're not leadership material. You have to make sure, again, I just can't stress this enough. You've got to make sure that you're not following somebody that's a pretender, an actor, in presumption. You can't follow them. Now, they may want to be the chairman. They may not want to be the leader. They may not want to be the cheerleader. They may be all talk and no substance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, you need to ask God, am I following the right people here? This guy has this wonderful vision. Is it really from you, Lord, or is it just his cooked up idea here?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, you can't follow everything that somebody says is prophecy. You got to make sure it's from the Lord.
Yes. Now, after you listen to the wise counsel, you investigate all angles and you ask questions. And we got this from Deuteronomy 1, 21 and 25. Let us send men before us that they may search out the land for us and bring us word of the way by which we should go up. Now, this is investigating. This is checking out everything. This is asking questions. And it reminds me, Darren, of the spiritual man in 1 Corinthians 2. The spiritual man tries all things. He examines, he investigates, he inquires into, he questions, and discerns all things. See, he has a mind of Christ, so he is in all the wisdom that God has given to him. He's not only searched out wise men for counsel, but he himself has investigated all the angles, and he's asked all the questions in order that he will be knowledgeable about where he is going. I think that is so good. And we've made mistakes by presuming that that's where God wanted us to go without going and questioning and investigating, especially in our early part of our marriage when you took on several jobs. We really didn't look into those things, and it cost us. It cost us time, and it cost us money.
But you know why? I got outside the anointing. Mm-hmm. And that will never work if you're outside the anointing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about up in Wyoming, there's a place not far from Interstate 80 where you can still see the wagon tracks going through there. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the scouts that used to lead the people across the country. If they didn't know where they were going and they took you in the wrong place and winter came, you could all freeze to death.
Yes.
You had to make sure that scout knew what he was doing and where he was taking you because you'd not been there before.
That's right, and that's why they had scouts.
That's
because
right.
Those scouts had gone and they had investigated every part of the territory to see which was the easiest access over the mountains, and so they trusted him. And most of the time it worked. Sometimes it didn't, and
sometimes
they died in the snow, yeah. And point number four is build up your faith in God. This is so important. After you have realized that there is a goal in your life, there is a promised land, building up your faith in God will keep you steady through those months, maybe years of the process of getting to your promised land. Now, Darren, I know it's taken years for us to get to our promised land. And so we have had to build up our faith and remember that he is the one that's accomplishing what he's promised. And in Deuteronomy 1, 29 and 30, it says, do not be shocked nor fear them. This is the enemies that they went into the promised land to defeat. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as a man carries his son in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. So God is going to accomplish it for us. We must know our part, and we must know God's part.
Now, we talked in the first part of this message about having an internal plan. You need to have an internal vision, not external vision, but something in your heart. And so when everything in the natural is going sideways, you can keep your bearings. And you have to keep your bearings. You've got to keep your focus. You're saying, I'm going for this goal and stick with it. And that's what we mean by building up your confidence with scriptures. Jeremiah 1:12 is one I frequently go back to. And when I've spoken out a lot of promises and then it doesn't come true right away, you know, it isn't quite there yet, I remind the Lord, now you're watching over your word to perform it, and I've been speaking your word out here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I reminded me of another scripture. See, we need to be remembrancers. We need to bring God to accountability. Say, now, Lord, in Isaiah 55:11, you say, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or void without accomplishing what I desire.
Oh, that is so
good,
Darren.
So when you put those promises out there, you're expecting to score.
Mm-hmm.
You're expecting to win. And then in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Isaiah 46:10, my purpose will be established. I'll accomplish all my good pleasure.
Oh, praise God.
And in Isaiah 48:17, here's an awesome scripture. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit and lead you in the way that you should go.
Now, those scriptures that you have just quoted are just a few of the many, many scriptures that are in the Word. And as God has given you a specific dream, a specific goal to shoot for, you choose those scriptures that are going to bless you personally, going to help you to accomplish what you're going to do. For instance, if you're looking for a home, you've never had a home and you're looking for a home, Isaiah 32, this is one of the scriptures that I really stood on when we didn't have our own home, and it just blessed me. It's Isaiah 32, verse 18. Let me look this up really quickly. Isaiah 32, verse 18. My people shall dwell in peaceful habitations and safe dwellings and quiet resting places. Wow, I quoted that verse so many times when we were renting, and I'll tell you, I even quote it now, that God has given us such a wonderful, secure resting place, full of peace. And as you quote these scriptures, and if you would like just a copy of our teaching here, we will be happy to send a copy to you. As you know, if you're listening to this and you're saying, oh, I wish I had those scriptures, call us and ask us for some of those. And we'll send this a copy of this.
We'll be very glad to do that. Yes. You know, a couple of nights ago, which I frequently do, I reached over the headbed and I just tapped the wall. And I said, Lord, thank you for our house. It is a peaceful habitation. And I like the word, it says undisturbed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's undisturbed. You know, undisturbed. We're not full of worry. And it says, it's just an awesome scripture.
Yes. If you've had, now these scriptures you gave, Darren, are just so good. I want to go over them again. When you build up your faith in God, you remember that He is the one who's going to accomplish what He's promised. You're not going to do it. He's going to go ahead of you and do it. And also, you're going to build up your faith in God by building up your confidence with scriptures. Now, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to go over these scriptures again that you said. Jeremiah 1:12, I am watching over my word to perform it. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or void without accomplishing what I desire. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Isaiah 46:10, this is God speaking. My purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Hallelujah, that is so good. And Isaiah 48:17, if you're having financial problems or if you're having a hard time finding that right job, this is a scripture for you. Isaiah 48:17, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit and leads you in the way you should go. Wow. I'll tell you, Darren, if I had the knowledge in my 30s and 40s that God has given to us now, I wouldn't have had so many, you know, little, I don't want to say failures, because like you said, they're not really failures. You build on your experiences. But yeah, they were setbacks. They were things that I had to go back and undo or redo.
Now, I would rather say they were speed bumps. They don't totally stop you, but they slow you down.
They slow you down, okay.
Now, a while ago you said you got to go with what God says. Well, let me give you this scripture along with this. In Job 22:28, it says, you will decree a thing, it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways.
Mm.
Now, when you give these scriptures here, and you ought to live these scriptures that we just gave you here, Jeremiah 1:12, Isaiah 55:11, Psalm 119:105, Isaiah 46:10, Isaiah 48:17, and Deuteronomy 22:28, you need to hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, what you hang on to is not your dream, but the Word.
Oh, that's so good,
and
dear.
You hang on to your dream by hanging on to the Word.
Oh, that's so good.
Because what's going to produce your dream? The Word, the Word, the Word. All right, trust and confidence are the keys, and if you disobey and realize it, confess your sin.
Yes.
Like if you've gotten away from hanging on to the Scriptures and you've gotten real busy and, you know, we've just come through basketball season, maybe you got more involved with the Final Four than you did the Word of God, and you say, wow, I just feel spiritually drained. Now, I'm really up on all the basketball, but I'm really down in terms of the Word. You might ask the Lord to forgive you, and He will forgive you.
Darren, this fifth point here, trust and obedience are the keys. It reminds me of, as we're naming our days, and you and I do that every month, and you're working on things in your own life, and I'm working on things in my own life, and I remember one day in particular, I hadn't looked at my day, and I really had a hard day. I mean, in some some people would say I had a poopy day. And I got home that night and I looked at the calendar and it was joy. And I said, oh, Lord, I flunked this day. I really flunked it. I got an F. And right there, immediately, I said, Lord, please forgive me. And that's one thing we can do. In Deuteronomy 1, it says when they disobeyed, you know, they were presumptuous and they went on to go into the promised land when God hadn't directed them. And Darren, the Amorites came and absolutely destroyed them. They were running back home. The Israelites were crying because they had presumption had taken place of obedience.
Well, they weren't used to losing.
That's true. They were not.
Now, let me say this. I think a lot of people, let me tell you how you can get into presumption. Well, I just figured it was the right way to go. Well, common sense just told me to do this. Well, a bunch of my friends just said, you know, they gave their opinion, and I put all that together, and I decided this was the right path to follow. Well, let me tell you, that's a good way to quickly get into presumption. You need to know that you've heard the voice of God. You need to know that He's directing you. And the counsel you seek is not from somebody in your bowling league or somebody that's in your, you know, commuting with you. It's trusted spiritual leaders.
Yes, and I've talked to people, Darren, and I says, well, where did you get that advice? And they said, somebody, you know, like the mailman or somebody. And I'm going, well, have they ever been where you are? Have they ever experienced what you've experienced? Have they worked at a vocation that you're dreaming of? And usually the answer is, well, no, but, you know, they're faithful every day at their job. Well, Darren, we've got to not only trust, but we've got to obey that voice that we really do.
You know, I think about that. I was talking to Gary Jansen Greeley, and he's a dear friend. And while I was talking to him, I heard the doorbell ring, and he said, well, hang on, Darren. And so he went to answer the door, and he came back and said, well, that was a Swan's ice cream man. Well, I like ice cream and I like Swan's products, but he's not the one I'm going to look to for spiritual advice.
That's true.
But some people do that. You know, they're so desperate, they run around, and don't let your desperation confuse you. Mm-hmm. You need to stop and settle your mind with the Word. Mm-hmm. Now, don't just sit down and say, well, I think I'll play a tape and I'll just listen to some good gospel music it's just wonderful music, you know. I just love Bill Gaither and, you know, that group that sings on television. I'm going to play some of their music and I'll find my answer. You need to find your answer, sir, out of the Word of God.
Out of the Scriptures that we were just quoting.
And when you get the direction out of the Word, you're on the right track.
Yes.
And you got true and pure wisdom there. So
that's,
we're saying
right
to you, don't get distracted, but stay focused and stay on the course.
I need to just go back to the trust and obedience one more time. Proverbs 3:5.
Now you're getting me distracted, Barbara.
Yes, I know I am. But it's the Word, Darren. It's the Word. We're going to stand on the Word here. In the trust factor here, I just need to quote Proverbs 3:5-9. This is as a result of trusting the Lord God. This is what's going to happen to your life. Now listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Don't try to figure it out on your own. He's going to make straight and plain your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. It shall be health. Now listen to this. This is a result of trusting in the Lord and not in the world system. Because we know that when you trust in the world system, it will be a curse on you, as Jeremiah 17 says. Trusting in God will be health to your nerves and sinews and marrow, and moistening to your bones. Your bones won't get dry. You won't have broken bones in your old age. Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency, with your first fruits and of all your income, and your storage places will be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. Now, who of you listening does not want good health and not want sufficiency in your little bank account? None of us. So this is really a great point in trusting and obeying God in what you're doing.
I agree.
Are you gonna quote Jeremiah 17?
Well, that's what I'm after. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the desert, will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony places in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Mm. We have got to make sure that we're not out there in the wilderness looking around and, you know, doing all kinds of dumb things trying to find direction for our lives.
Yes.
We've got to really stick with the Lord. And then I'll go on and say what I was going to say a while ago.
Before I
was distracted by my wife. Don't get distracted. Stay focused and stay on the course. Now, one way you do that is get that dream down in your heart and know that it's a God-ordained dream and not just an idea or presumption or presumptive attack on, you know, where you're trying to go.
Now, so, when you started in radio, because we have a daily radio show, you must have followed some kind of plan that God had set before you when you got into radio. Now, were you first in television and then in radio?
Right.
All right. But it was God's divine plan for you.
What I listened to is my heart. And I found out that, you know, this so fit the blueprint for my life that it was really easy. There wasn't a lot of questioning. I knew in my heart, I already knew this fact, that there is an anointed message and there's an anointed vehicle to deliver the message. Now, for some, that's print. For some, it's now today, it's internet. For some, it's books. For some, it's television. For some, it's radio. For somebody, it's seminars. Now, I believe that we have to find out, okay, what is the message that we have to deliver? All right, then what is the best vehicle to deliver that message? All right, now for me, the vehicle is radio. Mm-hmm. I love radio. It's just easy for me. It fits me like a glove. Well, so then you have to stop and look at those things. And, you know, I've tried a lot of things. Being a question asker since I was a little kid, I've asked a lot of questions. Well, should I deliver the message God has given me through seminars? Well, I do that sometimes. But my main venue is radio. Now we're finding radio has a new place in our culture. It's coming back to popularity.
Yes.
For a while, I believed that it was television. Well, now we're finding a lot of national speakers are trusting more in radio. I think about Jim Dobson. You know, he's primarily delivered his message over radio.
Millions of people hear
right,
him all over the
right.
world
he's
every day.
He's on hundreds of stations.
Yes. So I believe it's important, Darren, when the Lord says go, you go. It's so important. At that point in your life, the Lord said, go in your spirit, and you did. You went for it. And in Deuteronomy 5, 32 and 33, it says, you shall observe to do just as the Lord has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Oh, what a great promise that
now,
is.
Before we move on, I've got to go back to this thing about, see, I believe there's an anointing on your blueprint, and I believe it's going to be something you'd like to do, something that's natural for you. Now, some people are way out of their blueprint, and they're forcing themselves to go to work every day. They're literally the square peg in a round hole. They're just forcing themselves, after all, Darren, I've got to have a job. I mean, got to have income, got to pay the bills, got to take care of the family. Well, I like what one baseball player's dad said to him when he was a young boy. He said, you find what you like to do, what you love to do, and you'll never go to work another day in your life. In other words, it will be fun for you. Mm-hmm. It will be enjoyable.
Yes.
Well, if I had every day to get up and think, oh my goodness, I just hate radio. I just don't want to do radio. You know, well, it wouldn't fly. It wouldn't fly. So when I'm dealing with business people, I am looking for someone that's an artist. Not a technician. You know, I think about a clothing store I used to go into, and the old man had been through the Depression. He had to learn clothes, and he had to learn people. And he was an artist in working with me and with the products, and he just kind of knew. His son was going to take over the business, mm-hmm. and he was scrambled. He had scrambled eggs in his head, I think. You know, he just didn't. I mean, it was terrible. He couldn't help you. And yet he was going to inherit the business, and I haven't checked on that business for a few years, but I'm telling you, he probably ran it right in the ground because it was not his blueprint.
Mm, isn't that awful?
Now, I look for people that are artists. Yesterday, I'll give you an example. We had to replace the hot water spigot that's instant hot water
on our sink. Hot water dispenser, yes.
This young man came in, and he was an artist. He was there very few minutes, and he says, well, this hot water tank you have under here now is plastic. I said, how do you know that? He said, I've been doing this a long time. and I'm well trained. He was so fast in putting the new one in and taking the old one out. And guess what? It worked perfectly moment one. Mm-hmm. When I turned on the hot water, here it was.
And wasn't it easy?
It was easy.
It was
just easy. And I thought, wow, you know, I love to be around people that are artists and what they're doing. They're gifted. They're talented. They're the people that you want to work with mm-hmm. because they do such a wonderful job. You know, Barb, just a while ago you asked me about me being a teacher. Well, I started out in public schools, but very soon I realized that I had the wrong material to really teach. In other words, I wasn't supposed to be teaching public schools. I was supposed to be teaching the Word. And although I was a gifted teacher, God said, I want you to change your lesson plan, and I want you to teach out of the Bible instead of out of the textbooks at the public school. Well, also in 1978, I went through what you would call today probably a deliverance from a spirit of fear. I had to get away from that spirit of fear so that I wasn't intimidated all the time. And I didn't want to feel down, and I didn't want to feel like a loser, and I didn't want to make mistakes and have to start over all the time. Well, God was very good to get me into broadcasting on radio because that fit me like a glove, and I've so enjoyed it. And I love to do it, and I know that I have the right message and I have the right vehicle because there's an anointing on a message or what you're supposed to be doing. In other words, are you supposed to be in public education? Are you supposed to be teaching the Word on the air? What are you supposed to be doing? And although I was a gifted teacher and I got double raises and everything almost every year in the public schools, that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. I was close, but I wasn't on. And I'd say to anyone listening today, you got to make sure that you're on with your blueprint, with who you really are. And God can define that for you because He made that blueprint. He put that in you before you were born.
Yes. And so you experienced in the classroom, you probably experienced confusion and frustration and lack of peace and lack of motivation even, because you realized that although you loved the children, you hated the politics that you were under.
Yep.
And so, you know, I believe as we're talking to our friends today, we're saying to you, if you aren't in peace, if you aren't dwelling in peace and enjoying joy in your life when you go to work, I would really seriously consider looking at this again. I know, Darren, you and I, we just almost jump out of bed in the mornings to get going. I mean, we look forward to the day instead of saying, I'd rather be in bed. That has to be one of the worst things that anybody could go through, is wanting to stay in bed when it's such a beautiful day and God has made this day just for you. And so we're saying here in this lesson, possessing your inheritance, God has a perfect plan for you. And I just want to go through these points again before we finish up in this last hour. Number one, make a wise decision by the command of the Lord in your life. Number two, listen to wise, understanding, experienced, and respected men. Good counsel. That's always so good. I know when I was young, I went to my dad many times and asked him for wise counsel. He was such a wise man. Number three, investigate all angles and ask questions. Remember the spiritual man in 1 Corinthians 2. He investigates, he questions, he inquires into. He just asks questions. Number four, build up your faith in God by realizing that He will accomplish what He has promised through you, and build up your confidence with scriptures. And again, some of these scriptures, Jeremiah 1:12, I'm watching over my word to perform it. Isaiah 55:11. Would you quote that, Darren? That's such a great quote, Isaiah 55:11.
Well, it says, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire.
Oh, and Psalm 119:105, thy word. See, we're talking about getting a lot of counsel from the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Isaiah 46:10, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure, saith the Lord. Isaiah 48:17, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit and leads you in the way you should go. And then you quoted Job 22:28, Darren. That's another good one.
Well, it's a great one. It says, decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. and light will shine on your path. Now, it doesn't say that you will establish it. It says God will establish it.
Praise the Lord. Number five, trust and obedience are the keys. I mean, I'll tell you, if you can't trust God and if you can't obey Him, you're just going to have to go back to square one and really get that stuff solidified in your life. Number six, do not get distracted. Stay focused. Stay the course. Don't turn to the right or to the left.
All right. Now, I want to say this, that sometimes we ask people, well, did you pray about it? Well, did you talk to God about it? Let me tell you, you cannot trust your spirit unless you have an abundance of the Word of God in your heart. I'm saying heart and spirit are the same here. And you need to be reading your Bible every day. That's why we push you to read the Bible through with us in a year. And many of you know, if I'd ask you and you were honest with me, you'd say, Darren, I've never read the whole Bible through. Well, it's God's love letter to us. Why in the world wouldn't you want to read it? Mm-hmm. Now, when you have a dependable spirit, and you see, I don't go to people that don't have a dependable spirit. I don't trust their counsel.
No, I don't either.
Because I watch their lives, and they're disoriented, and they're, you know, flighty, and they're doing one thing one time, and I think of a young man that we see downtown frequently, and he came one day and he says, I'm taking flamenco guitar lessons. He said, I'm going to give concerts around the country. Well, you know, it's not long until he's around telling me, well, you know, I decided not to do that. I'm going to do something else. And then that something else doesn't work out, and then he, you know, he's just bouncing all over the place. He doesn't have a sense of direction. Doesn't have focus and purpose.
Not everybody can be like Kenny G and start playing his instrument when he was a teenager.
Well,
that's
started in high school.
Yes, that's phenomenal. And not too many people can do that.
But, you know, you speak about Kenny G and we hear him on, you know, the radio stations all the time. And he has a recognizable sound and beat and all that. But, you know, he found his blueprint.
Oh, he did.
And then he stepped into his blueprint and look what's happened. He's become a brilliant artist. Mm-hmm. I believe there's a brilliant artist in all of us, Barbara.
Yes.
And I would say this to you. If you have a job, for example, that you just, it just somehow just grates on you, it's just cross-grained, say it that way, well, you ought to think about it, because God may have made you to do something else. And just because you've done that job you hate for a long time and you've got some seniority doesn't mean you have to stay there. And I'll tell you why. Many times people bury anger and they stuff it down in their heart, and then they end up with colon cancer and so on. And you know, hate and anger promote cancer. Well, why don't you find a job that fits you, that's you? Mm-hmm. And then everything goes better.
Yes, it
really does. You're not a duck out of water, you know.
God will even create a new kind of job just for you. I mean, that's the kind of God He is.
Well, you know, there's stories about a mother hen that raised not only little chicks. She sat on the eggs, and they're little chicks, but there are also some duck eggs there. Well, when those ducks grew up, and they headed for the water. When the chicks grew up, and they can go down to stand on the water and watch their cousins swim, but mm-hmm. they're not swimmers. Mm-hmm. And some of you are like a fish out of water. You really are. And, I mean, it doesn't fit you. And your health is, you're paying the price in your health. I'm saying this lesson here is so profound. And we need to get rid of the obstacles. There's enemies of faith. And, you know, it's not easy to believe when you're out of sync.
No,
and you're out of your true blueprint.
Well, and the real enemy is in our mind.
Right.
It's telling you you're unworthy. It's telling you you can't handle it. It's telling you you're just worthless. You weren't raised in the right family. I mean, the enemy goes on and on and on. And we know in Romans 8:6, Darren, it says, the mindset on the flesh is death. You stay in that mindset that's feeding off the flesh, and it's going to be death to you. But the mind set on the spirit, oh, this is so good, is life and peace. Now, that's what we want, Darren. We want a mind who is controlled by our spirit man. And Romans 12:1 says that we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That is so important that we get rid of those enemies. And if you have problems with, you know, temptation to be feel unworthy or to go back to old habits or old friendships that are bad for you, quote, 2 Corinthians 10:5, often, I cast down every vain imagination and every lofty thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and I take every thought captive to the mind of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. Because, Darren, we do have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us that.
But let me say this. Unless you have the Word of God in your heart, you can't depend on your heart. Now, I've talked to people, again, that are you know, they're doing one kind of job now and another job next week, and, you know, a month from now or 6 months from now, they're going to be doing something else. And they are so scattered inside themselves that they can't depend on themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're in a real mess, because if they quieted themselves and try to think, no, I've just got to talk to God. Well, God is not speaking to you in a way that you can hear, because your mind is undisciplined. Your heart is undisciplined. It's unreliable.
Yes.
So you need to get a lot of the Word in your heart, so that the voice of the Lord speaks to you through Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Then you have a reliable compass. Then you have a gyroscope, if you've ever played with a gyroscope, and that's the way that keeps the big ships and the satellites and everything on course, is with a satellite. Or with a gyroscope, that thing spins and tells them what direction to go. You need an inner GPS. Don't just depend on the one in your brand new Buick or your new Cadillac or your new Chevy to tell you where you're going. You don't need external motivation and direction.
Oh, that's so true.
And navigation. You need to have that from the inside of you, and you can have. And God wants to give that to you. He wants to be there.
Yeah, so we get rid of obstacles. The mind is some of the fiercest battleground. But also, Darren, this part B of this is people. People can be physical hindrances to bringing our dreams to destruction. And God doesn't want us hooked up with unbelievers or compromising the mission by defiling ourselves. And in Deuteronomy 2:27 and 3:2, they said, pass through the enemy's land, pass through Moab, pass through Edom, pass through this land. I want you to go through and do not turn aside to the right or left. Don't get involved with them, because they're a heathen nation. But that's the fastest route to the promised land. And sometimes you may have to go through enemy territory, but don't get hooked up with them. Don't, in that process of getting and fulfilling your dream and seeing your promised land, don't get hooked up with bad company. And Darren, I've seen some people, oh, I'm so excited. My partner and I are going to do this new venture. And oh, I'm so excited. And I said, is your partner a believer? Well, no, but he's really good in business. He's really good. He's going to be a good manager. And Darren, 5 or 6, you know, I'm thinking down the road. I want you to be successful for 20, 30 years. Down the road, 5 or 6 years, you know, they're splitting up. They're suing each other, because light cannot mix with darkness. And people just don't seem to understand that.
Well, you know, that's like a lot of people talk to us about getting married. We say, well, it's a guy or this woman you're interested in, Christian. Well, no, but they're going to be. Well, no.
I'm going to make them do it.
The last chapter in that book usually is a horror story. And because when push comes to shove, you know, they're not lovey-dovey anymore, and they don't want to go to church with you anytime, not just Easter and Christmas or resurrection and Christmas. You know, they're not there. Their spirit is disciplined one way and yours is another, and they're not going to give in to you.
Yes. And for instance, if someone is called of God to be a pastor or a minister of some kind, and they choose a person who is just absolutely shallow and mediocre just because they got good looks or something, that's just not going to wash, Darren, because that person has got to have the same exuberance for the Word and zeal for God.
Well, we call those credit cards.
It's so sad.
You know, they're no depth. They're no depth. They're just, you know, they're shallow. And you want to make sure that you don't hook up with something like that. But in Deuteronomy 4:1-4, don't let compromise and defilement destroy God's plan for you. Now, we've seen that happen over and over and over. Mm-hmm. We don't want it to happen to you. I mean, particularly in a marriage, you don't want to take that defilement into you.
Yes.
And if they're not on the same page with you, I don't care if they're a Christian. They've got to be on the same page. And you gave the example of a pastor a while ago. the pastor's wife has to also be called to what they're doing,
yes,
or it's not going to work.
Oh, it's not. And I think so many times of this defilement in the process of getting to your promised land, it may take, like we were talking about earlier, it may take years. And I believe it's so important for you to do Ephesians 6:10, to stand firm in the power of the Lord. And Darren, so many times we give in to unbelief during that process. Well, maybe the Lord didn't call you to do this, or, oh God, maybe I went on the wrong trip here. Maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. Maybe I'm planning for the wrong thing. Don't let fear and doubt and unbelief, that's defilement. Don't let defilement destroy God's plan for your life.
Well, let me give you an example. I went to a minister's home. In fact, he asked me to come and to minister to him, and I was doing my best to do that. But his wife was so hooked on television that she was in the living room, she wouldn't join us. Now, she was the type of wife that would say, well, that's his profession. I don't have anything to do with his profession.
Oh, I've known people like that. So sad.
Well, you know, now a pastor really can't be successful. And you know, that church was going down a tube.
Oh, sure.
And it's basically destroyed. It's a gorgeous building. I've been there many, many times. But you know, they were down on Sunday night to 35 people or something like that. And at one time they had a vibrant church there, but it's not vibrant anymore because the pastor isn't vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a wife can really destroy a man's profession or vice versa. When they say, well, that's their deal, I just let them do that, I'm not a part of that, and they do their thing and I do mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that will not work, particularly in ministry. It won't work.
Yes. Well, I'd like to read that scripture from that you were saying, the reference, Deuteronomy 4:1-4. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, not take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor. And that's when we talk in Numbers 13 and 14 about Balaam. For all the men who followed Baal Peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. When you compromise God's plan for you, oh, friend, it's going to lead you down the path of destruction. You who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. So don't let defilement or compromise destroy God's plan for you. Number 9, remember the victories in your life. That is so important during this process, Darren. I'll tell you, when we were going through those low years, those lean years, I would say, I look back at the previous victories, how God had taken care of me financially, how I never went hungry, I never went without, I never lacked anything. Even those lean years when we only had a few dollars to go get groceries, I still never went hungry. So you got to remember those past victories. Do not forget what your eyes have seen.
No, I'd like to add to that. Do not forget what your heart knows. Mm. Folks, I tell you, you've got to listen to your heart. Put a lot of word in your heart, and you can depend on your heart to guide you.
Yes.
Then instead of saying, well, I'm going to flip coins, I'm going to draw straws, I'm going to do something like that to get some guidance from, oh, I'm going to read the horoscope. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the horoscope.
Oh.
That's one of the worst things you can do. For one thing, it's demonic and it's defilement. You need to put the word of God in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And some people sin by getting off God's track.
Yes.
Not just their track or the track, they're getting off God's track. So you learn to follow God's specific instruction. You find that in Deuteronomy 4:29. Would you read that for us, Barb?
But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him. This is so good. If you search for him with all your heart and your soul, you'll find him. God is right there. If you seek for him with all your heart and soul, you'll find him.
Yeah, he's not playing hide and go seek.
No,
he's not trying to hide and so that he can't be found.
No. That's right. And Deuteronomy 5:32, and then Deuteronomy 6:7. And you shall teach this word to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And this is one of the things that I believe heads of households, Christian heads of households, are lacking in doing, Darren, and that is instructing their children at home. They're depending on the school system to give them an education, and they're not instructing them at home about the things of the Lord.
Even if your children go to a church school or a Christian school, mom and dad, it's still your primary responsibility to teach your children.
Yes.
You shall love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. Jesus repeated this command in Matthew 22:37. In fact, he said that it was the greatest and foremost commandments, to love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. And then you like the concept of Shema. Talk to us about that.
This is the Shema. This is the most important scripture in the whole word to the Jewish people. And that's what we make our last point to you, friend. Don't forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord in your dreams and your goals. Don't forget the Lord. He's the one that has planned it for you. He's the one that will accomplish it for you. Well, we hope that you will really get a lot, and you've gotten a lot of instruction here for God's perfect plan for you, possessing your inheritance, leaving your past behind. Go over that CD again or the tape again, and remember that God has a great inheritance for you. He's got a perfect plan for you.
You know, Barb, I have to think back to when I was in the public school system. I hired a lot of teachers, interviewed a lot of teachers, and I was looking for teachers that really liked children. But, you know, occasionally I ran into somebody, and I talked to them for a little while, and I finally discerned they don't like kids.
Yes.
They've got a degree in education, but they don't like children. Well, I tried to weed those out in a hurry because I didn't want them in the public school scene because they would destroy children's lives.
Yes, we have been at restaurants, and like a couple times I remember specifically servers, they were great servers, but you would ask them, are you in school? They'd say yes, and what are you studying to be? An elementary school teacher. And immediately you hooked up with them, you connected with them,
right.
And you would come out of the restaurant saying, man, she's going to be a great elementary school teacher, or, you know, he's going to be a great teacher. A couple of them you said, you know, they're not going to make it. They're going to get washed up in the process. So you can tell because you entered that education and you actually selected teachers.
Right.
You were a principal. You selected teachers. So you got that experience.
You know, we were close to Windsor Kodak, and sometimes I would say to people, you don't like to work with people. You need to go to work for a company like Kodak. You can have that film coming down the line. You can hate that film, and it won't know the difference.
That's right.
But if you're in a classroom, you know, you can't hate those kids and expect them to learn. They will know heart to heart that they're not getting what they need.
Yes.
And you can't fool the kids. They can figure you out in a heartbeat.
That's right. And so you've got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you, that's by being in his word every day. And Darren, as you said, reading his love letter to you. It's for you. For you individually. It's God's personal love letter to you.
Well, you know, if you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you will be an artist when it comes to what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be something external. Well, I talked to an old Presbyterian one time. He says, well, I took my attendance last Sunday at such and such a church. It was a mechanical thing for him. Every Sunday he took his attendance.
Yes.
Well, what happens during the week? Did he love the Lord with all his, you know, he's a good man, very honest man. But did he really love the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind? And I kind of doubt it.
Well, one of the things about this Shema, and the Shema is a Hebrew word that has this command with it, that you listen to the Lord with the intent of obeying. And we've covered some of those areas. You listen to the Lord with the intent of obeying. That's
right.
Shema.
You know, one reason I love our engineer Jeff so much is that he's an artist on the radio. Mm-hmm. I mean, radio is his life. You know, he studied it. He's got a degree in it, but he's a natural when it comes to radio. He can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a good man under pressure.
There's nothing that he can't say, I can't do it.
That's right. He's never
well,
said that
yeah,
to me. So I like to work with artists and people that are, I've worked with some technicians. They drive me crazy. I don't want to be a technician. I want to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind and soul. Father God, I thank you for this lesson today. And Lord, we're into it because this is who we are. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for being so precious, being at the center focus of our lives. You'd never let us down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen.